Welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle. First, I want to thank you for listening in and know that you mean so much to me. I am a wife, mom of three, teacher, writer, and by nature, an encourager. I'm here juggling life and all that goes with it. That's why I want to spread a little faith and encouragement on your good and maybe not so good days to lift you up and onward. I'll be here reminding you that with God, nothing is impossible. And as you take your next step in your journey, I am filled with excitement because wherever you are, you will be encouraged. The meaning of Christmas. What is it truly about? Have we ever stopped to think, process, even talk about it at our conversations at the Christmas party of what Christmas, while we're gathering, what's it all about? Why are we even doing this? Why are we putting up all the decorations? Why are we even getting all the lights out and all the things and scrolling and seeing all these great recipes? Why are we doing it anyways, right? Why all the fuss? Hey, welcome to the Be Encouraged podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Brindle, and you're listening to episode 119, where we're going to get to the bottom of this question, at least have a conversation that surrounds the idea of what makes Christmas so special. So hang here with me, grab your cup of coffee, get on your walk or run, and wherever you are, be encouraged. Let's go. Okay, so in light of the Christmas season approaching, it made me think about all the different types of ways I've had Christmas, from when I was younger to like 6 or 7 years old, when I can remember my first Christmas, you know, and then I think about as a teenager, what was Christmas like then? And maybe you have these thoughts too that stick out and then burned in your head, whether it was the red, ruby red dress your mom made you wear and you hated the tights and you wanted to throw it all out in the trash can. That was me. There was definitely a time when I was like, Mom, no, I don't want to wear this to Aunt Jane's, you know, but hey, we were going anyway. And I was a twin, so we had to dress alike. So that was always quite interesting on those days that my mom was like, okay, it's Christmas. You have to wear your Christmas outfit and all these things. And we had to dress alike. We had to match my mom. It was a thing back then in the late 80s, early 90s. And let me tell you, it was not a dreamboat for that 6, 7 year old, you know, little girl who was like, oh, please don't make me wear this outfit, you know. But then I also remember on the flip side of, you know, my mom is completely Irish Catholic. And, you know, when she was growing up and my mom was one of 16. So fast forward to my younger years, the house was filled. My aunt's house, I mean, God love my Aunt Jane, and then my Aunt Byrne, my sweet Aunt Byrne, they all had, like, I don't know, it felt like 100 people in a house at one point, you know, with 42 grandkids on one side, and then my mom's Aunt Byrne, she had 13 kids. So on that side, you know, my great uncle, my great aunt, they had another house full as well. We got to go to on Christmas Eve. So we were back ping ponging back and forth between these really big parties and all of these wonderful family members who I still adore and love to see today. I still get nostalgic when I see them and remember all the Christmases, you know, we waited up to see Santa and all those little things. You know, I just love thinking about being with family. When I think about the younger years, I don't know about you, but I remember the smells. I remember just being that height that was lower than everyone, squeezing in and out through the hallways and people and hearing their conversations and just playing tag or with the little ones. And I just loved, the moments where we got to spend together with family members. And then as a teenager, you know, I loved that as well, but in a different way, you know, it was more about, okay, well, what are you getting? What shirt did you ask for Christmas? What store did you ask, you know, about that? So it's more about like, what are you getting for Christmas when you're a teenager? At least that's how I remembered it. Although I don't remember having much. And I can remember then the comparison of like, ooh, Sally had this and I had this. And my parents didn't get me that. They couldn't afford that, you know? And it was kind of that stacking comparison. Age as a teenager. And then I remember having, you know, Christmas when I have had a young family, you know, where it was just my youngest one. And my husband and I got married. We were young, 23, 24. And I remember, you know, Eva's first Christmas and the fun it was to watch and see her experience it for the first time. And then my second daughter, Ella, 3 years later, and so on, and Luke. And it's just really cool to see it through a boy's eyes as well. And there's just so many different things I look back on and think, wow, but did I miss the mark on what truly this season is all about? And I guess that's what I'm here to kind of really just unpack with you today is, am I missing the mark? Are we missing the mark? And when do we miss the mark? And how do we get back to focusing and refocusing our eyes on the reasons why Christmas, this season, this December, why it's even so joyous in the first place? Why are we even celebrating Christmas in the first place? Why does it feel like every American becomes a Christian during the Christmas season? I don't know, or at least it feels like that, because there's so many people who decide to paint this blank canvas of Christmas the way that they want it, and disregard the main fact, the main event of the reason why we have this holiday in the first place. And I am guilty of it. I feel like there's so many overgeneralizations of this holiday and different undertones that it can get lost as to why we celebrate. I mean, I was even talking about being a teenager. I don't think I really focused in and honed in on the meaning of what Christmas was all about. But I will say that I do remember that anytime we went to church, we went to Christmas Eve church, there would be the candlelight service. And anytime we did the candlelight service, it felt like this moment where you just meet heaven, where you just sing Silent Night and everybody recognizes who the Savior is of the world. And there's just this peace. And I want to get back to that today in this conversation. I want to remind us all, including myself today, that, you know, it's not too late to take a different perspective on what Christmas is all about and how you can incorporate that into any area of your life in which you are walking through. So hang with me today. We're going to be doing that. As I opened up my Bible the other day, I read Ezekiel 33 and 34. And this kind of what was stirring in my heart when I was reading it then. And I knew I had to share it with all of you now, as I felt like there was a few affirmations from the Lord, from a friend. She was like, yes, I was just reading that. I love Ezekiel. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I think I have to start with it. I think I have to go there in the word and kind of break it down for us today. So I love the She Reads Truth Bible. Just a little side note, a little Christmas gift if you're looking for somebody where, you know, they're looking for a Bible. This is one that it is a Christian Standard Bible. So there's different variations, versions of the Bible. And I do like the New Living Translation one. But one thing that I really like is the narrating part of the She Reads Truth Bible, where they break it down in different devotionals, and they have little maps in there. So for me, for someone who's kind of still conceptualizing the whole, you know, beginning to end of the Bible and everywhere in between, it's a really good starter. So definitely think She Reads Truth Bible is something you want to put in your Amazon cart or something like that for the holiday season if you don't have a good Bible. Anyway, they break down Ezekiel about, you know, what he was about, and he was a prophet. And back then, prophets, they were the ones who were called by God to be the mouthpiece for God. And Ezekiel was at age 30, which I always find so interesting. It wasn't like it was a ripe age of 30, and he was supposed to be doing something else, and God called him then. And I love his obedience to his call too. You know, the prophet lived during, they said in She Reads Truth Bible, I'll quote it, during the greatest crisis in Israel's history, the destruction of Jerusalem and its temple and the exile of Judah's leading citizens of Babylon. So I love this, because like right now we know there's so much tension in Israel going on. So just to like refer back to this, I feel like it's so timely. I feel like, you know, this message was not only meant for those in 586 BC in Jerusalem, but I feel like it could be definitely a word for all of us today. And I don't think God puts these words here lightly. He wants us to come back and remember, you know, what he has said. And I think it's the same way as we remember all the Christmases we've had. There's a purpose when we look back, we can find purpose in the things that we remember. And I think one of the things that God wants us to extract from the word in his Old Testament, going back to those, you know, Jewish roots, I guess, is just really honing in on what Ezekiel had to say here, because he was warning them of the morality and, you know, what was made he wanted them to be more spiritual aware, spiritual aware of the concerns that God had, the judgment that he had on them. And he was like, listen, you guys gotta turn from this. He wanted them so badly to experience the one true hope of God and avoid any future judgments. He was like so gung-ho about this. So in chapter 33, I love that he walks us through the watchman. So I feel like if you guys haven't read Ezekiel, or at least, I don't know, plop yourself there in Ezekiel 33 today, because it's so good. I underlined so much of it in this red highlighter. You won't even believe, but I just could not stop highlighting, because he warns us like, hey, if you're hearing sounds of an alarm, of a ram's horn, but ignores the warning, and then the sword comes and it takes you away, like, whose fault is that? You know, and he tells us, and it reminds me of even during the Christmas season, if we are not being the watchman for other people and saying, hey, listen, like, these things are not of God, what they're talking about. Like, even to my own kids and the things I'm watching with them on these Christmas shows and things, I'm like, hey, they're missing the point. Remember, Christmas is not about the presents. It's not about Santa. Remember, the true meaning of Christmas is knowing that we have our Savior, our Lord and Savior, who is eternal peace. He is eternal joy, and he is eternal hope. Things that they're talking about in maybe these movies, right? But we can say, you know, confidently that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And that's why we can celebrate, you know, this season. So I feel like the Lord is really saying, hey, I know we can get caught up in the commercialization of things, but be careful you don't lean so much in them that you're missing the mark of what this season is all about. It's to sound the alarm. It's to help people walk by faith, to get back on track, to look for the lost, to help the people who might be hurting. It's to help the underprivileged, right? Like the Salvation Army, like tons of different people, Operation Christmas Child. Like, we get to have a chance and opportunity to help one another. Let's not get lost in the perfect present or what, you know, the perfect food to make for the Christmas party or the work party or whatever it might be, or what to get your boss. Just remember, I think, just ask the Lord, like, hey, is my heart just in a wrong spot here? Am I so me focused on me having all the right things, or am I God focused and having God be the center of what I am to righteously do here? I think that's just for myself. That's a prayer I had to remind myself, hey, Lord, sound the alarm on me. Make sure my eyes are watchful so that I can go to battle if I need to go to battle. So I'm not just turning a blind eye to evil, or I'm not just simply not responding to danger coming our way, in a sense, you know, like really just be the watchman as if my life and others' lives depend on it, because people are looking to us as believers. Listen, if you aren't a believer, hang with me here. But if you're a believer, I'll tell you what, non-believers need you to have your eyes so focused on Jesus this holiday season, more than any other season, I think, than you ever realized. If your eyes are laser focused on serving the Lord and honoring and glorifying him this season by what you say, what you do, what you get, and asking, you know, for whatever your provision, asking, looking to the Lord for your provision, I think that speaks volumes for the non-believer. The non-believer wants you to be distracted and to look for the, you know, oh, well, they're going to depend on their false hope here or this or that, or there's no way that this can happen. They are just waiting for you to drop the ball. But the Lord, if you keep your eyes straight on that path towards the Lord, I think you'll see a miracle in the middle of it all. In the middle of this season, you'll start to see people's heads starting to turn and really see the meaning behind Christmas for what it is meant to be about. So don't get lost, my friend. Be the watchman like Ezekiel warns us to be. You know, during this holiday season, you also might have an opportunity to look out and be the light of Christ in a dark landscape of a place we call this world. You know, you can look back to who was the light in your life during the years maybe you've had Christmas. Who is the light in your life during just this year alone, during your childhood? Who was the light? Who was the light in those gut-wrenching moments of your life when you were feeling completely hopeless? Where have you seen God's love shine on you? And I think as you start to look back with that heart of gratitude, what a gift it is to know that Jesus really, helps us along in each of our seasons, especially through our dark times, so that we can be the light for others as they're walking through something maybe not so great right now. You are a gift. That light for someone else today may go a really long way. Not just because, you're perfect and you're wonderful, although you are really great, but we're not perfect. We can't ever be 100% enough for other people, but God is. He is our incredible Savior who died for us to shine hope, joy into the depths of whatever that we might be circumstances we're facing today. And as I live in this world, I want to just remind us all of that word repent. It says so clearly in Ezekiel 33:14 that as I live, it says, as I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God, repent, repent of your evil ways. The most powerful part of this is here in verse 14. Actually, I think that was 13. And now here's verse 14. But if a wicked person turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he will live because of it. Encourage others to turn their hearts from whatever they might be facing. And sometimes we get in our own way. That's the wickedness. We get in our own way that we get stuck on what we want and we obsess over it. And it's just not what God wants. And we need to remove the things, the pride, and lay it down, the anger, and just say, Lord, get to the root of it for me. I want to live a just life. I want to turn from it. And I love that God will honor that. He tells us that in Ezekiel, and he tells us it over and over in scripture. So encourage others to turn their eyes towards Jesus, because we can't do the things in wishful hope, right? That's what a lot of, I think, Christmas spirit is that wishful hope. And that's not everlasting hope. I mean, our pastor was just talking about that this week, wishful hope and this like expect it, like as if you can try and earn this hope. Those things will fade, they'll die off. But the certain hope that we have in Jesus, that is forever. That is something you can always bank your money on. You can always put your hope in. You can always trust God with the outcome with. And I just love that. I mean, it even goes back to what Chelsea and I were talking about in the last podcast, that we can trust God with the outcome. So much of our lives can be spent distracted, not looking for ways that we can be a blessing. And we have this opportunity to be the very vessel that God uses to draw people closer, not towards us and our fame and what we do, but draw them closer inch by inch, knowing the way, the truth, the light, because I see it in your life. So I just feel like that is a word for somebody today. Maybe it's a word for me, is really good. I know I need to hear that, just to turn or repent and to see God, see what's coming my way, to be the watchman and to be the watchman for other people and to help others in their journey of faith. You know what I mean? Because the essence of God is for us to be able to look back on not only the good of our lives, the fruit of our lives, but also how do we get there? And it's truly, I can tell you, it is by the grace of God that oozes out. He is the good. So be the good in the world today, because God is good. So let's stand up and be the light, that lights the other candles around us, so we could be the city standing on the hill, like Jesus talks about. I just love to think about that, because who knew that Ezekiel will be talking to those reading this right now in 2023. I mean, how good is that? And I just love to hear that, there's so much hope for all of us as we fight the good fight of faith, as we walk towards the Lord, even this holiday season. Like, may our postures just be a little bit more upright, I guess, and, facing Him instead of, the circumstance of the world or what someone else has on their list or, their Christmas list and what you might not be getting or what you could be getting or, are you doing enough this holiday season? I think we need to know that Jesus is enough, and that is all that we need. That is enough, right? Amen. Like, our hope does not come from what the world says is hope. Our hope comes from this eternal hope that has been set, that sets us apart from the world. Worldly expectations. And I think I also want to talk about too, I love that in Ezekiel 34, he says that I will save my flock. And I think I love this because not only do we just talk about being the watchman, but God is the watchman. He is the shepherd, right? He's the ultimate guy who says, you know, I got you, has sent you Jesus so that you would have, you know, the Holy Spirit to counsel you, to be the mighty counselor. I know it even says in, just to kind of piggyback off that and kind of go into that, you know, and Isaiah 9:6 says, for a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. God is, wow, like he is all of those things for us. And I think, what a good shepherd. He is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God, our eternal father. We can put our hope in him, a prince of peace, when we don't understand and it's uncomfortable. I mean, some of us face pain during this holiday season. Some of us realize there are people around, as we look back and nostalgically think about all people who sat around our Christmas tables and our dinners and our lives and then sat at the table of our lives and they're not there anymore. I mean, it can be really painful. I know it's definitely going to be hard for us as we walk through our own grief from Christmas Day and experiencing grief on Christmas Day, as my father-in-law passed away in 2020 on that day. You know, it's just something that I don't think will ever be over, but it will be something that we will remember. And it has changed us to know that a little deeper there, that God is with us, that he does lead us and walk us through the darkest of valleys. He is our wonderful counselor, our mighty God. I don't think I could ever felt peace in a moment like that, so unexpected, but he truly was the Prince of Peace and a father to all of us, you know, as he shepherds us. And I love that even in Ezekiel 34, just to kind of go back to that, where he prophesies and he says, I will save my flock. They will no longer be prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. I will establish over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will shepherd them. He will tend them himself and will be their shepherd. And he talks about King David here, you know, but through David's lineage came Christ, the ultimate amazing shepherd that fathers us, who pursues us. And I love that. It's just a great reminder of the holiday season that God is pursuing us, even if we face pain or we need comfort, or, you know, it's not the way it used to be when you were younger, or maybe we're facing, you know, financial troubles, or maybe you're facing, you know, just hardship, you know, relationships or at work or whatever it might be. I just think somebody needs to know, to have the conversation, be encouraged to have the conversation, that the Lord is our shepherd. And if people are feeling like they don't have all that they need, they can be reminded of Psalm 23:1, that although this is a commercialized, very much commercialized, and I'm very easily, you know, persuaded at times, you know, to buy the thing, get, you know, what's on sale and Black Friday deals and all of those things. I love the truth here that if none of that ever happens, if we don't get all the things that crossed off the list, it doesn't matter as much as this verse right here. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his namesake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. Oh, goodness and faithful love will only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. This right here is a word from the Lord. Psalm 23, actually, that was all Psalm 23. It was so short, I had to read all of it. But I will tell you that first line, I have all that I need. I have what I need. You know, we have what we need. We have our wonderful counselor, the one who mends our hearts. We have the mighty God who saved us from ourselves, from the sins of the world, from the people, the evil things, and the darkness that we face. We have an eternal Father, knowing that we have this eternal hope that we will one day move on heavenward. And we have this Prince of Peace that is with us always. The dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. How good is that, that he is faithful to pursue us all the days of our lives. His goodness is within us all the time. So we can be the good in the world, my friend. We can be that smile to a stranger. We can offer generously to others, knowing that it belongs to him. We can remember that he is in control of all the uncontrollables, that we can rest our heads down at night and sleep with many peace, because God, he doesn't stop. He is the shepherd that went for us the 99. He was, and I say the 99 as I'm referencing even in the New Testament, you know, where God, Jesus reminds us that he went for the one in that went astray, and he left the 99 sheep because that one mattered to bring him back to the flock. We are his flock. He said it in Ezekiel. He'll say it again in Isaiah. He'll say it. He said it again in, you know, in Psalms. And he said, Jesus himself said it, that we are his flock. We are his sheep. He is the one he cherishes and looks after. I just love to remind us of that this Christmas season, because how often our eyes can be on the things of this world that even I can get caught up on. As I watch Christmas movies and all of those things, they don't mention Jesus, do they? They don't necessarily make him the center part of the hope. But I'm reminding you to keep him at the center so we don't lose hope. As we go through this Christmas season, keep your eyes on the shepherd and listen for his voice. You know him. And if you're not sure you do know his voice, read his word. Go to Matthew and listen to the Christmas story. Listen to what God has put into scripture. God breathed scripture, and it's there for us to go back and to listen, to go back and remember. Remember what God has said about his sovereign Savior. You know, he left the herd in search and seeking for the broken, the weak, the lost, having a hard time in life, for those having a hard time, for the moments that I know our hearts pinch so hard because of grief. God, he left it all. As even if we walked away and, you know, we stiff-armed the living God in our lives, he is walking towards you. He running towards you, pursuing you, because he loves you. Because you're worth that. We're all worth that. That's why Jesus was born. As it said in Isaiah, he was given to us and for us. He was the gift, the perfect gift. That's not on the Amazon cart. It's not on maybe everyone's list right now. But I will tell you, as I remember all the joy of Christmas, I hope I always remember the joy of Jesus. Let us remind the generations that come after us about the joy and the gift we have in Jesus. This free gift of grace and peace that covers us all. Let us be reminded of the miracle that's in the middle of all of our messes, the one who picks up all the broken pieces, who has an outpouring of love to get to you. Don't let the commercialization, the overdramatization of Christmas spirit, so to say, shade the colors of the true holiday spirit, which are red. Red for the blood of Jesus that shed on the cross for us to save us from the depths of despair and sin. White, like the purity of Jesus Christ that bestowed upon us his amazing grace. That was the perfect gift, like I said, for all of us all along. And green, prosperity and blessings. God's everlasting spiritual blessings may be showering you this holiday season and forevermore, as you know that you are in a territory of being God's child. You are in with his flock. You have been set apart and chosen for his glory and his blessing. I pray today that the laughter you have around your dinner table, as the conversations, you know, maybe that you have in the car rides to and from with your family, in the hugs from your grandparents, or maybe as you look back and think back to the memories of Christmases before, that you would be reminded that even if someone isn't there that once was there before, that you have something so special, something that you can cherish for everlasting time. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. You have that gift. Let's receive that today. Let's be the watchman and help the shepherd by reaching out to his flock, to the ones who need that reminder this Christmas season that they are loved. Peace on earth is here to stay. Yay. And we don't have to look for it in the best sale. We don't have to, rush to the stores. We don't have to be caught up in the hustle and bustle of keeping up with the Joneses and their decorations or the best meal. But the true Christmas spirit is right here, the presence of God who came to our earth, who was raised up so that we could be raised up too. Make that the topic of conversation. May your joy be what sets you apart in a world that is desperate for the truth of what Christmas is all about. I pray today you would just share that good news today, share this with somebody today, and hopefully that will help point us in the direction onward this holiday season. Blessings, you all, and I will be back in 2 weeks with another episode for you to end out this 2023 Be Encouraged podcast season. Thanks, everyone, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Be encouraged. Hey, everybody, I just want to pause and say thank you so much for coming into this space week after week, or even if this is your first time, thank you so much for listening, taking the time to be encouraged today. If you feel led, don't forget to go ahead over and click subscribe and write a raving review. Give it 5 stars and fill up my bucket today, too. And if you'd like to check out more about our guest speaker today, click on the show notes so you can learn more about them today. Thanks again, everybody, and have a wonderful week.